Get Ready for Success. Leadership Strategies for Women is a show dedicated to providing practical and valuable strategies for emerging women leaders of today. It's your time to get inspired, motivated, and challenged to achieve your vision for success. And now, here's leadership speaker and coach, Ellie Nieves.
Welcome to Leadership Strategies for Women. This is Ellie Nieves, and I am your host. I'm the founder and president of Leadership Strategies for Women, where I develop seminars and webinars to help women show up, speak up, and step up in their careers. I also coach women who want to achieve more both personally and professionally. To learn more, please visit my website at leadershipstrategiesforwomen.com, or you can follow the Leadership Strategies for Women page on Facebook. Our guest is Rini Weissman, and Rini Weissman was a distinguished engineer and director of engineering at the IBM Corporation prior to retiring in 2008. Having spent nearly 40 years in the heavily male-dominated semiconductor engineering industry, often as the only woman, Rini learned firsthand how women can hold themselves back. The owner of Winning at Work Consulting, Rini is the author of the recently released book, Why Hillary Lost, What Women Can Learn from the 2016 Election. The book focuses on the behaviors women must understand and the biases they must overcome to succeed. She uses the 2016 presidential election to show how the female disadvantage impacted Hillary's campaign and gives competent women advice on how they can address similar situations. Rini, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Pleasure to join you again.
So, Rini, let's jump in there. Let's just start talking about your background. Can you share a little bit about who you are and what your background is?
Okay. Well, you spoke a little bit, but I'm going to take it to a little more personal level and begin way back in 1969 when I graduated college. I graduated on a Sunday. The following Sunday, I got married. We got married a lot younger in those days. And right after I went on my honeymoon, I came back 2 weeks later, I started working in IBM. I joined a group of about 400 male engineers and me. I was the first woman, and there were maybe the age range of the engineers were anywhere from 22 years old to 65 years old. So I was kind of an oddity for the group. I spent over 40 years in industry in what was essentially a largely male, although I'm happy to say more women joined as time goes on, but still a largely male-dominated industry because we were doing semiconductor and packaging development, which happens to be, unfortunately, more male-centric in those days and still today. As I was doing this, and especially in those early years when it was just me, I found firsthand that there were a number of things that were both positive and negative for women. And I decided that, you know, I was going to try to work on all the things that hampered me and see if I could overcome some of them. As more and more women started coming in, I was observing that they were suffering from the same issues that I had learned how to overcome, and they would come into my office and sit down and we would have a mentoring session, although back in those days we didn't even use the word mentoring. And throughout my career for the next 39 plus years, and even today, I spent a lot of time trying to help women succeed and also a lot of men at the same time. When I retired, what I decided to do after a lot of encouragement from other women who had been my mentees and also from my daughters was to write something down about all the things I'd experienced, hence my first book, Winning in a Man's World. And I started giving seminars and writing articles and now continuing to write books about all the experiences. And so I have, since I mentioned my daughters, I have two daughters, both married, and five grandchildren, and a very supportive husband who lived through a lot of tough years while I was doing all that technical work. So that's me. that's pretty much the type of person I have. I will also say, you did say that I got distinguished engineer. I was a manager and a middle manager and an executive. So I've been purely technical, and I've also managed people in my career.
Wow, so great examples of how you entered a male-dominated profession and you came out on the other side helping women to be able to succeed in similar environments. Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, you're very welcome.
So, Reedy, tell us about your latest book. What inspired you to write it?
Well, as I said, I've spent an awful lot of time looking at all the things women have done wrong and try to help them do it right so they can succeed. And watching the 2016 campaign, which in many ways was painful, whichever side you were on, I saw Hillary making many of the same mistakes that I've spent so much time advising women to avoid. And I said, you know what? Maybe I could use that as a learning vehicle. Now, that can be touchy because once you're getting into politics, people have very definite opinions one way or the other. But I worked very hard in the book to try to not be pro-Hillary or pro-Trump, but to simply identify things that Hillary did that could have been done better for the fact that she was a woman, and things that we forgave when Trump did it because he was a man. But the whole point of the book really is to help women get advancement, promotions, opportunities, political positions, who knows what. If you're competent, you also have to work to make sure that the likable aspect is very positive. So that's what the book is really about.
So you mentioned likability and competence. What is the likability versus competency trap for women that you mention in your book?
Okay. You know, it's funny. Whenever I talk to someone about this, they will tell you without a shadow of a doubt that, yes, it exists, but I'm not like that. I don't have any of that bias. So I always, everyone denies it, but we all have it. Effectively, there are two things that I believe and I have observed occur with women who are trying to compete for something that's perceived as a power-seeking position. And that is that we tolerate untrustworthiness and likability in a man much more than in a woman, as well as a lot of other what you would call difficult behaviors. And competency is not necessarily seen as a virtue for a woman. Let me say it simpler. For a woman, the more successful you become, the less liked or trusted you will be, especially if you're seeking power. So you have to be aware of this, and you have to work to enhance your likability so that does not occur. And Hillary, in example after example, gave me, unfortunately, a lot of ammunition for things to compare with people.
So what evidence do you have that this is really true?
Right. Okay. So I spent a lot of time on this because it was started out as my opinion, and a lot of other women expressed it as an opinion. So I said, all right, I'm a scientist. I don't like to do things by opinion. I like to do things by data. So I treated it like any other scientific problem that I'm going to go after. And I did research. And in all of the studies that I searched and went through, I found many that supported it. But I'll just name a couple because I think they're very interesting, and they do point out for sure that women are experiencing this. The first one is one that was mentioned by Sheryl Sandberg in her book Lean In, and was also repeated by Anderson Cooper some years later on his show. And that is the story of Howard versus Heidi. Now, I'm not sure if other people have heard this. When Anderson Cooper did it, he changed the names of the two. But there was an entrepreneur who was a case study at Harvard Business School of someone who started with essentially nothing and built up a very successful company. And in so doing, had to do a number of things that might not have always been the nicest, neatest, friendliest, best things, but they helped her develop a company, and the company became powerful and strong, and it was a very good learning story. Well, someone at Columbia Business School took that story And it was a several-page long history of what Heidi had done. And they went through and they changed the name in the book or in the story to Howard. And every time there was a she, they changed it to a he. Every time there was a her, they changed it to a him and all of that. Then they took the entire business school. I think it was, I'm not sure if it was one class or four classes, but they took the business school and they split the people up and they gave them assignments or gave them in a room to read the story. And at the end of the thing, they asked them several questions. The questions included, would you want to work for this person? Was this person competent? Is that messing things up?
No, you can go ahead. Go ahead, Renee.
Okay. Anyway, hopefully you can audit that out. The other phone is ringing. Anyway, so they went back and they asked them, is this person competent? Would you want to work for this person? Would you trust this person? Would you want to invest in this person's business? And what they found was while they were considered competent, about equal, and whether you were Howard or whether you were Heidi, there was a huge difference, like very large difference between whether they felt the person was trustworthy and whether they liked this person, and even if you would invest or not invest. And in general, what they found, or quite across what they found, was that women who, the case of Heidi, they didn't like her, they wouldn't want to work for her. And in the case of Howard, he was much more likable, and they would want to work for Howard. Now, every word in the exercise was identical. The only difference at all was that they had changed the pronouns and very different results. Now, that was the most famous, but I'm a scientist, so I kept digging, and I'll just tell you a couple of others that I think also hit the point. Another study was done in school where there was an executive in a company, and the person was a finance director, and the company was going through a very serious crisis. At the same time, they got a call from home saying that their child was sick. Now, they did this as four scenarios, and they had people answer the same questions afterwards. One was a finance director who was a male who went home. One was a finance director who was a male who stayed at work to handle the crisis. One was a finance director who was a female who went home to take care of the child. And one was a finance director who was a male or a female who stayed at work. So you had all four scenarios. And when they analyzed again the questions at the end, they asked, did you think this person was competent? Would you like this person? Would you trust having this person working for you and so on? There was really no difference at all between the male choosing to go home to take care of the sick child or the male staying at work to get the job done. But there was a very big difference for the woman. For the woman who went home, she was rated as not very competent, and the woman who stayed at work was rated as not very likable. Very different results. Right. You know, it's you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't in this particular situation.
Right.
Just a couple more just to point it home is, I'm not sure if you're aware, but these were older studies, but about 20 years ago or so, most of the large orchestras across the United States were largely male, and especially the top positions, the first string, if you will, in the orchestras were men. And they said, why are women not getting these positions? So they decided to start doing what are called blind auditions, where the person auditioning was behind a curtain. And what do you think happened?
Tell me.
Tell you. What happened was the number of women who got the position or got that first position or were brought into the orchestra went up significantly, in some orchestras as much as 50%.
Wow.
Right. So, you know, the issue is we can't hide behind a curtain at work. But the reality is the biases are still there. And unfortunately, women have to deal with them. Now, they can be dealt with. It's not something that you can't work on and overcome. But if you ignore them, as I believe Hillary did, that's going to come back and bite you, and it will impact your long-term success in your career.
So that brings us to the advice that you provide in your book. So what is it that a competent woman can learn from the 2016 election?
Okay, so the single first most important thing is that you want to be competent and you want to be likable, which is more important. Again, there were research studies performed, and it's actually more important to be likable than to be competent if you want to get ahead, especially for a woman.
Interesting.
Interesting, right? If you're not trusted or you're not liked, most people will not care whether you're competent or not. They will rarely consider you for a position, and they will rarely give you their vote if they don't like you, even if you are the most competent, capable woman they've ever seen and are more competent than the men who have been around you.
What advice would you give a competent woman who's, you know, competing for a higher position or for political office?
You have to be competent, but you have to absolutely focus on the other skills, on your likability as well. So in the book, and I obviously there's a lot in the book, so I'm just going to hit a few highlights. I talk about steps you can take, first off, to just be more likable, how to get people to know you as a person so that they can relate to you. I mean, Hillary, for the most part, did a lot of writing position papers, focusing on what she believed on, but she never showed her family. Very rarely did you see her family. You almost never saw her grandchild. She did things where she hid that she had the flu, things like that. All of those are things that enhance your feeling of distrust as opposed to making us like and want to know a person. Stepping back and letting people know you, getting to know them, getting to know what they're about, and finding something common that you can relate to on both sides is a huge part of getting people to like you. And how you do it in a small group or managing a small department or running for president may be somewhat different, but it's still the number one thing you need to go after, and you need to take steps to do that. I also talk about how to improve your image and how to be more inspiring and how to avoid the B words. Do you know what the B words are?
What are they?
All right. Well, there's this old thing that maybe you've heard years ago where they say, he's demanding, she's bitchy. He's persuasive, she's bossy. He's determined, she's a bully. Got the idea?
Yeah.
So I go through how to make sure that you're not perceived in one of those ways and the things you can do. Now, I got to tell you, it's a fine line. You're walking, you know, a tightrope a little bit, because if you go too far one way, you're the bitch, and if you go too far one the other way, you're too easy. But for a woman, just being aware of it and being aware of how you're perceived will make a difference, and that difference can make a huge impact in terms of what people think about you. So awareness is a big part, and then I go through some of the other things that you can do in each of those instances. I also talk about getting the right data and the importance of the right data, because, frankly, Hillary's polls were all wrong. And again, as a scientist, if you're going to do a study, you want to be sure that you're taking that data and looking at it to be sure it's true, because frankly, a statistician can make any set of data look like anything they want it to look like in terms of convincing you about something. So always try to peel through the data and learn more, and I give you some techniques for that. I talk about getting the right team to work with. In this particular case, Hillary had a very, very diverse team. She had, you know, black, she had white, she had Asian, she had men, she had women, she had LGBT, she had people from across many different backgrounds. But almost everyone who worked on her team was a liberal Democrat. And so she didn't have people who were looking at the world from a different point of view and arguing to do things differently. And when I built a team to solve a technical problem, or I built a team for any other purpose in IBM, I learned that I don't want people who think like me on the team. I want people who don't think like me on the team. I want to hire the person who maybe I wasn't quite as comfortable with, because maybe those people will bring a different aspect to me and I will come up with a better solution for the problem. So I talk about how to build the team, how to do the right, look at the right things and understand what you're going after. I talk about how to understand your audience when you're speaking and know where their head's at before so that you don't say the wrong things. I talk about how to apologize, because frankly, that was something she and Trump did during the election, and how you do it can make a huge difference. And I also, unfortunately, have a chapter on the importance of appearance, because even today, people still judge a woman by how she looks, and then they start listening. I'm not sure if you're aware of it, but it's kind of a funny story. There was a newscaster in Australia who, actually it was a team, a male and a female, who gave the news every night, and he noticed that the woman was getting a lot of nasty emails about her appearance. They didn't like this dress. They thought she was overweight. They didn't like her hair on this particular day. And he never got any emails at all about what he looked like. So he decided to do an experiment, and for 1 year he wore the exact same suit and tie to work and shirt to work on air every day, while she went through all these differences. And in an entire year, not one person noticed.
Wow.
So, again, appearance is critically important, not because you have to look so good, but you have to make sure appearance is a non-issue. You don't want to look so different that people are paying attention to what you're looking like. You want them to be paying attention to what you're saying and doing. So dress, the best thing that can happen is for somebody to think she looks nice and then listen.
Right.
So that's the gist of what I tried to get across in the book. And there's a lot more, obviously, that you can discuss and go through. But I would recommend people who are trying, especially women who are trying to move ahead to a career where you're competing with men and where you will be perceived potentially as power-seeking, to read this, because there's a lot of advice that will help you make that happen in a much more positive way and take away the impact of the likability versus competency trap.
Great. And just as a reminder to our listeners, Rini's book is titled Why Hillary Lost, What Women Can Learn from the 2016 Election. And Rini, where can our listeners find your book?
It's available on Kindle. It's just an e-book right now. It's available through Amazon Kindle. We may be turning it into a paperback shortly, but that's where it is right now. I wanted to get it out very quickly because I wanted it to follow the election, so that's why it went out as an e-book right away.
Timing is everything, absolutely.
Yep, right.
So, Rini, what's next for you personally?
Well, I'm continuing to do the very same things that I've been doing, which is helping women, going to seminars, teaching, writing. I'm toying with the idea for my next book. I haven't figured out what that is, but it seems like one of the clear topics in the news and in the press lately has been harassment in the workplace, a la Bill O'Reilly's recent announcement, Roger Ailes previously, all of the other situations that we're hearing about, you name it, it seems to have come back as a hot topic. So it seems to me that in 40 years we've made very little progress in this arena, and maybe that will be the next one I want to go tackle.
Well, thank you, Rini. You've been a really great guest. You've shared some really interesting information that is something that we can definitely put in our pocket and take into account as we try to seek higher roles in our careers. So thank you for sharing today.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
And to all of our listeners, thank you so much for tuning in. Until next time, God bless.